you're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings. Join in the conversation. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back to another edition of The Drift. Good to have you along for another ride here at the Drift Studios up in Hamburg Township. So good to have you along. Hey, and what we do on The Drift every show is go over the news we put on thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. And if you're not going there, you should. It's news from across the globe, around the world, and right here at home sometimes, if it's interesting enough. So make sure you're going there and checking it out. Because, doggone it, I just put a little extra work into that every day for you guys. So if you're looking for a conservative news aggregate website, The Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com, is the place for you to be going. Please check it out. I've been doing it since 2012 anyways, and all the records are there. You can go back and check and see if I've got stories. Well, it's kind of interesting sometimes just go back. I often go back there because it's getting close to a decade now. So a lot of years of my life wrapped up into it, and well, there you go. So, wow, another crazy week. Everybody's panicking over the coronavirus, and I'm not, but I will say I've done my prepping a little bit, right? I've bought some extra food in the house. I bought some of the 25-year food that I'd been planning on doing for a long time anyways. It just forced me to go ahead and do it a little earlier than I normally would. So I've got plenty of food in the house. I even bought some N95 masks. Stuck them in with the food, the 25-year food, just in case something should happen, right? So I would encourage everyone to take a few minutes. You know, and it's not because of the coronavirus. This is something we should all do. EMP attack, tornadoes, a hurricane, depending on where you live, right? You should certainly be prepping a little bit. Anyone who's not prepping, if you don't have a few weeks' worth of food in your house, you don't have a pantry that's got a couple of weeks of dry goods and canned goods, what the heck are you thinking, man? Make sure you're getting out there doing your share of prepping. That's just called being an American. Being prepared. That's that Boy Scout thing, right? Make sure you're prepared. Have some water, have some food. Electricity goes out, the fridge goes out, blah, 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 blah. Make sure you're kind of prepared. And as an American, I'd say make sure you have a few guns in the house and some ammo to go with it. Why not? You never know. The Bernie Bros could show up. The Bernie Bros, right? So anyways, plenty to talk about. But we're going to start right there with the coronavirus because it's disturbing. Doggone it. And people are panicking. And I'm going to blame some of our own right-wing hosts. And I'm going to include myself because I'm talking about it, right? But I'm telling you not to panic. Because by all measures that we've been looking at this point, this thing isn't any worse than the flu. Not as many people have died. People are dying in China because I think China doesn't really care if people survive, and they're probably not getting the medical treatment that they would want or deserve. But it is what it is, right? You can believe what you want to believe. I don't think it's there yet. But I want to talk a little bit about hypocrisy, because the thing that really killed me today, and I've been tweeting it out all day, and you may remember this, you know, when the coronavirus first popped up over there in China, President Trump, one of the first things he did back in January was, yeah, let's put a little restriction on people coming out of that area of China, the Wuhan district, blah, blah, blah. And people like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and the mainstream media, the left media, and they all went after him. Oh, look at Trump. He's a racist. He doesn't want Chinese people coming. He doesn't want Asian people coming here. He's just another excuse for him to perform his racism and try and keep America white again. Come on! Are you serious? This is just a total load of bunk, if you ask me. But it is what it is, and this is what the Democrats did at the time. So you've got Democrats complaining that the Trump administration is not knowing what it's doing, is not doing enough, not spending enough money. the Trump administration proposed $2.8 billion to spend on this corona. The Democrats are now coming out, we're going to take care of it. We're going to spend $8 billion. We're going to take care of this because we know so much better than the Trump administration here. And Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi were both jumping on board that. But I think what people forget sometimes is what the Democrats and their hypocrisy does, because on February 5th, right, not even a month ago, just the end of the month, 3.5 weeks ago, February 5th, Chuck Schumer tweeted out after the Trump administration did something that the premature travel ban to and from China by the current administration, the Trump administration, is just an excuse to further his ongoing war against immigrants. There must be a check and balance on these restrictions. That's Chuck Schumer tweeting this out February 5th, 12:10 p.m. February 5th of this year. Why did he tweet that out? Well, let's see. Let's go back to, let me think about the date. How about February 2nd? And I want you to hear this. So this is from February 2nd. I want you to listen to this.
Fears over the coronavirus mean there will be no inbound flights from China landing at Bush Airport for now. New U.S. travel restrictions went into effect tonight. All inbound flights from China will only be cleared to land at 11 U.S. airports to further control the screening process and to prevent more cases from spreading in the U.S. Our Marcelino Benito is live at Bush with the latest tonight. Marcelino.
Ron, Air China's one daily flight from Beijing to Houston has been canceled for the foreseeable future. Folks now wanting to make their way from China to Houston are going to have to make an extra stop first. New travel restrictions are in effect tonight. No commercial flight from China will touch down in Houston until the new coronavirus is under control. Inbound flights from China now only cleared to land at these 11 major U.S. airports. DFW, the only Texas airport on that list.
You know, anytime we have a new virus agent, it's the unknown that gets people worried.
Tropical disease and vaccine expert Dr. Peter Hotez has been closely monitoring developments with coronavirus.
I see it as kind of a type of enhanced screening that they're going to need to do in light of all of the new information, and restrict the number of airports to make that possible, since they can't have everybody from the CDC at all of those airports. And it wouldn't surprise me if they restrict this down even further to maybe one or two airports.
Okay, so there you go. That's a month ago. Trump administration was already on this. They were on it from the beginning, and the Democrats, as usual, hating everything that Trump does, because that's what they do. They're Trump haters. They don't care about the United States. They don't care about American citizens. They don't care about anything except getting rid of Donald Trump. That's what the Democrats are doing on a daily basis. Doesn't matter what it is. And if you've watched anything over the last 48, 72 hours, Democrats seem to be cheerleading for a pandemic in the United States of America. They seem to be begging and wishing and hoping and praying for some kind of a pandemic to hit the United States so that they can blame it on Donald Trump. They can blame it on his inaction. They can maybe downright just blame it on him, period. I don't know. That's how insane the Democrats have become with this. And on top of that, maybe one of the bigger threats of this virus, because, you know, we may be looking at a 1-2% mortality rate in China, where they don't have good medical care for people, for the average person over there, because it's a communist country, right? Number two, they've got 1.5 billion people in China. Do you really think the government cares if 200, 2,000, 20,000 people die in China? They don't care. That's 20,000 less mouths they have to feed. The Chinese government doesn't care. Do you find it odd that the prisons in China all of a sudden have an infection of a lot of this coronavirus? Wiping out my prison population? Don't have to feed them anymore. Yeah, go figure. I know, you're saying, Gary, you're putting your tinfoil hat on again. Look, it's China. It's communism. You know, if Bernie gets elected here in the United States, you think he's going to be putting guys like me in prison? Yeah, probably. Re-education camp like his like his Bernie bros want? Yeah. Do you think they're going to find a problem with letting Gary get coronavirus while I'm in prison and dying because I haven't been reeducated properly? That's what communism does. Pretty simple, right? But to make matters worse, the stock market, it's capitalism. It's one of the cons about capitalism is there are a lot of people with money investing and not investing in Wall Street, depending on the scare of the day. And right now, the people are looking at supply chains and saying, oh, it's going to China. They've shut down factories. They're quarantining people. Listen, I'm in this business, right? My real job is in the auto industry. Radio and podcasting and everything else, blogging that I've done, I don't get paid for that. This is my hobby. I like doing it. It's a chance for me to vent. My real job is in the auto industry. I work very hard for a tier one auto supplier. I'm not going to say who they are, but we have been affected. Yes, of course, there has been shutdowns of plants in China, suppliers and factories that have shut down. And some of them have been shut down for a couple of weeks now as this quarantine goes into effect. But even today, after our stock market has taken a dive for a week now, plants in China are starting to open again. I got emails today. You know, parts are becoming available. We're back to work. We're making parts. Quarantine has been lifted for some people. Some people are coming back to work. They've been cleared, whatever. Some of them probably were sick, and then they're not so sick now. It's like anything else. A couple of weeks later, your body, if you're one of the lucky people who can fight it off, they get it. They're fine. They go back to work. And that seems to be what's happening. The scaremongering needs to stop. Is it serious? Of course, any flu epidemic is serious. We've got thousands and thousands of people dying in the United States and across the world from the normal flu every winter. That's what happens. In Northern Hemisphere, it's our winter time. Southern Hemisphere, it's what we consider summer, is their winter time. The flu is one of those things. It's got some seasonal affect, and it remains to be seen if we'll have a seasonal affect of this. Is it going to be better or worse than SARS or MERS or any of these other flu-like respiratory viruses that run around and kill people? A lot of people want to go back and think about the Spanish flu, 1918 was the peak that soldiers brought back after World War I and spread around the globe. And there were, at that time, considered many, many, many deaths. And we didn't have the vaccines and stuff we have today. We didn't certainly have the medical treatments, even in the United States, as advanced as we were then compared to the rest of the world. We didn't have all that medical care then, and people were dying. But you know what? Hygiene is better today. We have vaccines today. We have better hospitals today, better respiratory therapies today, better drugs today, lots of things that are going for us. So people shouldn't be worrying that this is some kind of hot zone bubonic plague thing going on here, because it's not. We'll get through this. Wash your hands a little more. Don't touch your eyes. It's a heavy-duty flu season is the best way to characterize it. Should you prepare? Yes, you should. Should you have some? We all need to do that. But for the people in the stock market, doggone it, folks, don't be dragging your money out of the stock market. Don't be going out and buying gold and silver and all that nonsense, because you know what? We're going to recover, and you're the ones that are going to lose out. You know, you should always diversify your investments, but to be pulling stuff out of the stock market while it's dropping is just insanity. If you own stock in something, or you own shares in a mortgage fund or an investment fund or some other investment type option, don't be pulling it out while it's dropping. That's when you lose money. Hang in there. It'll come back around. I think we've lost 4,000 points. We're at 29,000, breaking new records. And now we're back down to 24,000, which was a new record in October, I think. We've broken a lot of records in the last 3 years under Trump. This decline over the last week has been kind of brutal. It kind of makes me look like, oh, God, my 401ks were doing so well. They're still doing well. This too shall pass. And we'll get through it. People will survive. Most of us will survive. If it's 2%, that means two people out of 100 may be dying. I don't think that's going to happen here because we haven't seen it yet. I mean, the doctors have said some people won't even know they have this, which is kind of good and bad because those are the people that are the carriers that are spreading this nasty bug around. But some people will get it. Some people won't know they've got it. Some people won't feel anything, or maybe it'll be gone in a day. Other people will be hit hard for 2 weeks, and the occasional person may die. The people with compromised immune systems, the elderly with COPD or respiratory problems, maybe young children who don't have good immune systems yet, you know, that sort of thing. It's going to hit people. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But for crying out loud, look at what the media is doing. Look at what the Democrats are doing, trying to politicize this issue, weaponize this issue. It's just another ploy to find some way to hit at Donald Trump because they know they can't beat him in a fair match in November. So put that aside. I'm all coroned out. It's been a tough week with corona. I've been up and down myself. I've looked at the memes. I've looked at the posts. I've looked at the news. I think Nick Mulvaney was at CPAC today telling people, just turn the news off for a little bit. And I've done that today. I mean, I listened to a little bit of Glenn Beck, who's really kind of out there. I don't know if he's pushing gold or what, but he qualified his statements as saying, I'm telling you not to panic, but then he goes into a big, long panic monologue and kind of aggravates me, right? And maybe I'm doing the same thing. Be prepared, but don't panic. For crying out loud, don't panic. This is America. It's 2020. We have a great medical system still in the United States, at least until Bernie takes over and ruins it all, or the communists, or the Democrats, or whoever. But don't believe the hype. When you look at a guy like Chuck Schumer, who a month ago said what he said, and then turns around, and if somebody deletes a tweet, when I delete a tweet, it's normally because I misspelled something and I look like an idiot. When people delete a valid tweet, that means they know they were stupid. They know they were wrong. They know they were lying. Chuck Schumer deleted his tweet where he was criticizing the president for putting travel restrictions in place a month ago. And then over the last 24 hours, he's saying the president hasn't done enough. He's been caught off guard. It's too little, too late. It's anemic, as Nancy said. That's total crap. No anemic response to this. President Trump has done a great job in this because he's a problem solver. He's always, excuse me. Ooh, I've got the coronavirus. He's always been a problem solver. He puts the right people into place, and they were criticizing him for not paying enough attention. He takes the vice president, who's got good relationships with everybody in Congress, at the House, the Senate, the appropriations committees, and says, all right, you're in charge. Lead this project up. Let's make sure we're on top of this. The CDC is on top of this. And if you didn't hear this week, because it didn't really hit the mainstream media, some of the conservative sites hit it. There was a lady, Messonnier, I think was her name, works for the CDC, who came out earlier in the week kind of poo-pooing what the president and the president's administration was saying. This is a travesty. This is a tragedy. This whole thing is going to blow up. We're all going to get it and die. Well, guess who Miss Messonnier is? Those of you who listen to conservative sites probably already heard this. MSM won't say anything about it. MSNBC won't say anything about it. NBC, ABC, they're not talking about it. Miss Messonnier, who works at the CDC, is kind of a high-level executive, is the sister of former deputy director of the FBI, Rod Rosenstein. So another never-Trumper trying to make waves and whistleblowing. And there's another whistleblower today, talked about today from Northern California, saying that there were some problems that the CDC people who showed up in California to bring back people from Japan, Americans who came back, weren't properly trained. Here we go again, right? Another whistleblower. Yeah. Whistleblowers anonymous? No. Whistleblowers not losing their jobs? Yes. Right. They're, this request for anonymity is just not right. So, please, folks, whatever you do, don't panic. Don't sell your stocks. Don't cancel your trips. You know, there's lots of people talking about, you know, again, even on the right, oh, we're going to go into recession. This could be very bad. You know, people won't go to the movies. They won't go to dinner. They won't do this. They won't do that. That's nonsense. Traveling overseas? I don't know that I would travel overseas right now. I don't know that I would go to Italy, where there's a lot of that going on. I don't know that I'd go to, I think Germany got hit a little bit today. They said they had some stuff. You know, what do they all have in common, those countries? Open borders. Open borders. So, people from China spread a little bit. What's the Iran-China connection is the one that really kind of gets me. How did all of a sudden China to Iran, and they're the bigwigs, right? A VP in Iran, I think a couple of mullahs in Iran, 38 people dead. It's the second highest death toll outside of China. What is that Chinese-Iran connection? Was there some very important people from Iran working with China? I wonder what they were working on that they would catch the virus. Why were they catch? Were they in Wuhan, near the Wuhan labs? Is that what was going on? If you want to put your conspiracy hat on and say China developed this and it escaped, or they did it on purpose, or it's an accident, whatever, how did all of a sudden did it jump to Iran? Italy, I don't even know. I can't. My brain doesn't work that into the equation. But China, Iran, they were having some war games not so long ago. Is this something they were working on? Iran looking to get some kind of a bioweapon from China? Oh, so here, take a look at this. Boy, I'd like to. Can I smell it? Yeah, go ahead, you moron. So we end up with people dying in Iran from it. That's the one that really gets me. It just seems a little odd. I'm just saying. It seems a little odd. So think twice, but don't panic over it. The coronavirus is something we should all be aware of, like any flu season. Do what you can. Break out the Lysol. Clean your house a little more. Have the wipes at work. Put the hand sanitizer out. All those things that you would normally do, right? Keep your own immune system up with extra vitamin C the whole night. It's the sick season. That's all I'm saying. I'm not buying the fact that this is the 100-year flu epidemic. I just don't see it. I think we would have a lot more deaths. It would be a lot more lethal of a contagion, people dying quicker than they do. I'm just not buying it. And I don't want people to be getting caught out of hand about it either. So just do your prep, make sure, but then go on with your life. Don't think that you need to change your lifestyle, right? Just be careful. Okay, let's move on to the Democrat field. It's Friday night tonight. Tomorrow, I think we have the South Carolina primary. And by all indications, the polling, if the polls are to be believed, shows Joe Biden, Crazy Joe, Demented Joe, is still going to be taking South Carolina. I'm not so sure. The gaffes from Joe Biden in the last few debates on the campaign trail, in his appearances, public television and interviews and whatever else, I don't know that Joe's all there. And I feel really, I've gone from the point of being angry with him and thinking he's just an idiot to the fact that I think that Joe Biden has some memory issues. It could be due to age. I don't know if it's Alzheimer's or some other dementia-type related illness. But did you hear him this week during the debate when he said 150 million people have died due to gun violence? I think he qualified that saying 2007. 150 million. Was he trying to say 150,000? Was he trying to say 15,000? Was he trying to say 150? I don't know, Joe. What were you trying to say? 150 million is half the population of the United States of America. Are half of us dead? Are we the walking zombies? We just don't know we're dead yet. It sure seems a little odd. The gaffes are getting, frankly, I think, worse as time goes on. And I feel bad because I blame his family for not stepping up and saying, Dad or husband or grandpa, why don't you just give it up? Enjoy the last few years of your life. You don't need the aggravation. You've given enough. I'll give Joe that. He's done plenty of years in public service. I don't know that they were all good. I won't say they were all bad because I'm not a bad guy and I'm not going to be mean like that to Joe Biden because he served his time at one time. Hopefully he was doing it for the right reason. Don't know if he's doing it for the right reason anymore because his family sure has made a lot of money off of his connections in government. But it's time for Joe to step down. You know, those people that are saying, Joe, just quit. He should. He needs to get out. And even if he wins South Carolina tomorrow, I think it's time for Joe Biden to step aside. Just give it up. Go relax and enjoy your retirement. And again, shame on the Democratic Party for not also saying, Joe, you're just hurting the party. It's time for you to go. But why would a government? Why would a Democratic Party do that when they're so crazy that they're allowing a Bernie Sanders to do what he's doing? We've got a complete socialist, really a communist, running for the Democratic candidacy for president of the United States. How do you think that's really going to fly? I don't see it flying. I'm sorry. I have friends who worry that there's enough young folk and disenchanted folk who want to follow Bernie down that communistic path and take control of the country. Take away the capitalism, get rid of the capitalism, do all those crazy things. I'm not sure I believe that the United States of America is that far yet. I don't think we've fallen that far. I believe that there's enough good, decent people with enough history still in us, even though our public school system has failed us and has failed to teach the failures of socialism. I think there's enough people who realize, yeah, communism just not going to work. Honestly, let's look at Venezuela, shall we? People eating out of dumpsters, people eating their zoo animals. Venezuela was a very successful, it was the second richest country in the Western Hemisphere, I think. And today, you got to have a wheelbarrow of money just to buy a loaf of bread. It's crazy. Now, that's what socialism does. And there is no real socialism. There is no real communism. It's always the few, the controllers, the politicians, the leaders. They do well. The rest of you get screwed. And the first thing, of course, they want to do is take away your guns. So Bloomberg is our second Democratic candidate who seems to be vying for that top-notch position after Bernie. And if you watched the debate the other night, you would have seen Bloomberg basically say he bought the 2018 election. Did you see that? Spent $120 million. He said, oh, I bought. That's people he backed, like Alyssa Slotkin, my congresswoman, current congresswoman here in Michigan. That's Haley Stevens, also another congresswoman here in Michigan. And Rashida Tlaib here in Michigan. Across the country. So Bloomberg basically admitted in the last debate that he's the one to put Nancy Pelosi in power. And is Nancy now the one trying to help him avoid the first debates because he debates terrible? Because he's got a terrible track record? What is going to happen? Is Bernie going to get, will the Democrats actually let Bernie get the nomination? And if he does, will they help him? I got to imagine there's a lot of old school Democrats, people who identify with John F. Kennedy or Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, for me, I think Roosevelt was a bit of a socialist myself, but whatever. Those old school Democrats may still want to vote Democrat, but I think a lot of them know that Bernie is not he's not a JFK Democrat, folks. There's a guy who honeymooned in Russia. You honeymoon in Russia, you say Castro's a great guy, you say Maduro in Venezuela's a great guy, you say China has brought more people out of poverty than the United States or capitalism or the Western countries. This guy is a communist and a nut job, frankly. So my prediction is you will see, depending on what happens in South Carolina, depending on what happens on Super Tuesday, I think you're going to see all these commercials that Mike Bloomberg's been putting out about himself, trying to remain positive and promote himself. I think you'll start seeing him go negative to hurt Bernie. And he'll probably get plenty of help from the DNC, because the Democratic National Committee certainly doesn't want to have Bernie as the nominee, because I think they're as well aware as most of us, with a little bit of common sense, because the DNC knows Bernie can't win. He certainly can't win against a president who has the stellar record that Donald Trump does. You may not like his tweets. You may think he's a buffoon. You may think that he's rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. But you know what? Donald Trump has delivered. Promises made, promises kept. You see that at every Trump rally you go to. And I would encourage you, if you are a never Trumper, if you're one of those people that just hates Donald Trump, go to a rally. It doesn't cost you anything. You just sign up online, get there early. You'll probably get inside. If you don't get inside, you'll be able to stand outside. The weather's going to be warm here come spring. Stay outside and meet the people that support Donald Trump. You may not like me. You may think I'm a buffoon and rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. I've been spouting my stuff on the airwaves for 8-9 years now, and there are people who don't like me either. But doggone it, I'm a pretty nice guy. I really am. I don't go out of my way to insult people or be mean to people. I hit back pretty hard. But I don't go out of my way to make people uncomfortable or be mean or anything like that. That's just not in my nature. I'm basically a really nice guy. And you'll find that with most conservatives. Most conservatives are pretty straightforward. Hey, man, you need some help. Hand up, let me help you. You know, even if you're a liberal and I know you're not like me, I'm always willing to help you, because you know what? I don't put politics as first and foremost in my life. I have friends who are liberals. I have friends who are Trump derangement syndrome folks. They hate Donald Trump for no reason. They just hate him. They don't think he's good enough. They don't think he's educated enough. They don't think he's smart enough. He doesn't deserve anything. Those people are my friends. I don't hold that against them. I sometimes get in a spirited debate with them, but it doesn't make me love them any less. And I think if you go to a Trump rally with an open mind and just listen, meet people, talk to people, you'll find that most Trump supporters are just doggone good Americans. For normal, average folks. And I'm voting for Donald Trump again, wholeheartedly. We have an open election. So Michigan's election is coming up the 9th. 9th or 10th? 10th. Tuesday the 10th. So it's just a little over a week away. Not quite 2 weeks away. And I want people to realize we have an open primary here. So if you're a Democrat and you want to vote in the Republican primary, I don't know if there's anyone else on the Republican ticket or not. I think you can go to the polls and vote on the Republican side. I don't think anyone else is running in Michigan other than Donald Trump. You might see Bill Weld on there. I don't know. I don't know if he made the ticket in Michigan or not. But there are a lot of Republicans I've been hearing who are going to vote in the Democratic primary. They're going to pull the Democratic side of the ticket, and they're going to vote. Some of them are saying they're going to vote for Bernie because they know Bernie can't win, and they want to ensure that Bernie, not Bloomberg or Pete Buttigieg or Amy Klobuchar, who try to act like moderates, get on the ticket. I don't really think any of them are an issue. I don't think Trump has a problem. Don't believe the polls when you see these crazy polls saying each of the Democrats on the primary side can beat Donald Trump. That's hooey. It's a load of nonsense. There's not a chance in hell that any one of those people is going to be able to beat Donald Trump in the November 2020 election. Even if we have a crazy economic crash of some sort, I don't believe people are going to go with a Bloomberg. I don't believe people are going to go with Bernie Sanders or Pete Buttigieg. I don't think Warren's got a chance in hell. I don't believe Amy Klobuchar can make it. And I don't know how that's going to fall out with a vice president. I can see Pete Buttigieg being a vice president for a Bloomberg or Bernie Sanders even. I don't know if those two could actually work together, but you might see something like that. But it makes you wonder, you know, it makes you wonder what's going to happen on the Democratic side at the convention. Will Bernie have enough delegates allotted to him to receive and take that nomination? Will the Democrats try to pull something fast and prevent Bernie from getting the nomination? That's kind of what I think might be happening here. And are they setting themselves up for something? Now, it wasn't just a couple of weeks ago where we saw Mike Bloomberg allegedly say he would pick Hillary Clinton as a vice president. And we all laughed, of course, saying, "Moo, that guy's not going to live very long if he's putting Hillary as his VP because she'll off him with the Clinton body count, right?" And she's always saying no, no, no. But you know doggone well Hillary would probably jump at the chance to be on the ticket one way or the other. And she may even try to get in if it goes to a brokered convention, try to fiddle herself in there somewhere. Could be the same with Michelle Obama. The Democrats are going to be pretty desperate, I think, by convention time. They're going to be looking for the dark horse, the all of a sudden candidate who comes out of nowhere. Could it be a celebrity of some sort? Could it be an Oprah or The Rock or somebody pulling up, even if it's a VP presidential combination, something like that? Don't be surprised what the Democrats will try to pull out at the convention. But I do believe if it doesn't involve Bernie, if Bernie is not the nominee, that there's going to be a big, huge caterwaul at the convention. And if Bernie's not the nominee, I cannot see the Bernie bros, the deep Bernie Sanders base, voting for any other Democratic candidate. Can you? I don't see it happening. I just don't. Okay, so let's move on, get away from the super politics and the coronavirus a little bit. Let's talk about, so the Dem-controlled House today went after vaping, which is kind of one of my pet peeves. They voted to ban flavored e-cigarettes. Now, for those of you who know me or don't know me, I've never been a big smoker, but a few years back, I kind of got into smoking. I had a lot of stress in my life, owning the newspaper and whatever else goes on in your personal life. And one of those things that I ended up getting into was smoking. I wasn't super heavy smoker, but I was smoking a lot. New job, blah, 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 stress. And I managed to get out of it after one heavy night of smoking at bowling and waking up coughing and wheezing. I said, enough is enough. I got to quit. I moved to vaping. And for those of you who don't know, there's been studies done, and I think the best one came out of England. And allegedly, vaping, even with a full nicotine vape content, is 95% better than a cigarette. And part of that is because you're not getting the tar and the other smokables that come out, that smoke is what turns your lungs black and makes them really bad. 95% better. Not that nicotine's still good for you, because it's still addictive, still has those qualities. But what you can do with a vape is dial that percentage of nicotine down. And for me, I ended up going to zero nicotine. I vape to this day, but I found a company, and I'll give them a free plug, CyclonePods.com. I'm not sure they're actually carrying the vape pods that I was using due to some of these new rules that are going on at state and now the federal level. You can actually get a 0% vape. And for me, it's helped. And I don't vape like I used to smoke either, because it's not the same. But it's a step in the right direction to be quitting. So now I'm basically, it's a flavor juice. It's not the vitamin E oil crap that's causing people to have bad problems. And for me, I've never been a big addict like that to need nicotine. So for me, it's the finger holding the thing, the puffing thing. I can't swear that I actually inhale a lot of it anyways. I like the flavor. I like the taste. But vaping has helped me. And it's helped millions of others who have quit cigarette smoking. So what they passed today is actually called the Youth Tobacco Epidemic Act. So they're saying it's a, here we go again, epidemic. Children all over the country are falling prey to these cotton candy flavored e-cigs. Blah blah blah. Come on, for crying out loud! It cigarettes are still way worse than a vape ever would be. It passed by a vote of 213 to 195 today on Friday. Will it go to the Senate? Mitch McConnell's saying he's not even going to pick it up. President Trump is saying he's going to veto it. And here's the reason why. Why would you? There are companies like Cyclone Pods that actually don't sell nicotine. They're selling nicotine-free pods. And they're making a business out of it. And it's working for them. And if you were to believe, I heard on one show earlier this week talking about how to stop coronavirus and are there things you can do, you know, natural remedies, antiviral, essential oils, that kind of thing. It makes you think, what are we missing with the whole vaping industry? Instead of having bad chemicals in that steam that comes out of a vape, can you put good chemicals? Like, how about vitamin C? How about maybe a vape pen for people with asthma? Allergy season comes around. Maybe people with allergies, maybe there's some way that you can. But I think we're missing the whole idea of what vape does. If it's some kind of a water-based, I don't know, I don't know the science behind it. But even if there's a way that you can make medicine delivery systems or vitamin delivery systems out of a vape, is that another option? I don't know. All I'm saying is, when you ban something like this, you're just going to drive it underground. You drive it underground, you have no regulation. You have no regulation, you don't know what kind of product's going to hit the streets. And that's what you're seeing right now, all these deaths that we did. They're kind of off the map now. People aren't worrying so much about it because of coronavirus and impeachment and everything else. It's kind of fallen off the map. But people were dying from vaping because they were getting THC. Most of it was THC related, and they were using the vitamin E chemicals that are not supposed to be in that. The carrier oil they were using is not good for your lungs. There is science behind the vape. And it's all the more reason not to ban it, because you don't want this kind of stuff going underground. You want to keep it up above board where it can be regulated, looked at. If there's a problem, we can fix it. If it goes underground, you're not going to find these problems. You end up with people dropping dead, and then you're trying to figure out why. So another attempt by Democrats to just go ahead, and the Republicans who voted for it too. I'm sure there's plenty of them. I'm not going to pull up their list of who voted and who didn't, but, you know, it's the flavor. For me, I'm not looking to inhale nicotine. I just want to have a cigarette type thing in my hand. It relaxes me. I can walk away from my desk for a few minutes at work. Like I said, it's helped me. Would you rather me go back to smoking? Do you want to drive kids to smoking regular cigarettes? That's what they're going to do. Kids are going to not have access to a flavored vape pen in their spare time. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go down to the 7-Eleven and they're going to ask Joe Blow from the steel mill to buy him a pack of cigarettes. I'll buy you one. Or can you buy me a beer and a pack of cigarettes? That's what's going to happen. It's just silly. You know, put more things into place that make them be 18 or 21. Punish them accordingly if they get caught smoking. But you know what? Don't punish the entire country for it. That's doggone it. It just seems that's what Democrats want to do on a regular basis. All right, so let's go back to the Daily Drift. And if you're not going to the Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com, news, conservative news aggregate website. And I make no bones about it. I'm not a journalist. I'm a propagandist. I'm trying to fight the liberal media. So am I a little slanted? Yes, I am. And I make no bones about it. It was a story we put on Turkey vows to escalate military action after 33 of its soldiers die in a Syrian strike by Russia. Now, we had kind of thought, at least I did, based on material I've been reading over the last 6 months, that Turkey and Russia were kind of working a little hand in hand. There was a little something going on there, which is odd, which Turkey is part of NATO, so it kind of puts them on the outs a little bit, that they were working together. But sure enough, you were seeing it. But now, all of a sudden, we're seeing some oddities going on in Syria. We've pulled back a little bit, which is a good thing, right? So we're not in the middle of this fest, shisa fest here, as we've got it. Turkey vowed Friday to escalate actions in Syria's Idlib province after 33 of its soldiers were killed in an airstrike that it blamed on Syria, as the risk of a major military confrontation between Russia and Turkey in the region increased sharply. Russia, which said its air force was not operating the area of the attack, accused Turkey of breaching a 2018 ceasefire deal, which limited the deployment of Turkish troops to observation points in the region. So Russia's saying, it wasn't us. Well, probably not you, but probably a Russian plane, maybe with a Syrian pilot. Is that what you're telling us? Vladimir Putin and Turkish President Erdogan spoke by phone today, Friday, and said they'll meet and they'll try and work it out. But it kind of reinforces to me that we made the right decision in pulling out of Syria, at least to the extent that we have, reduced our population of military people in the region, and I think that's good. It's not our fight, so we need to kind of stay out of that. So it's something to keep an eye on there in the Middle East as we're paying attention to everything but the coronavirus. And the last thing I want to hit today, we're going to keep this a little shorter. A win for the Trump administration in court also this week. A major victory in the continuing fight against lawless sanctuary states and cities. The U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals in Manhattan of all places, right? Ruled Wednesday that the Trump administration can withhold grants from sanctuary states and cities, overturning a lower court decision. New York City and seven states had sued the administration seeking to reverse the Justice Department's announced decision in 2017 affecting their grants. The Justice Department announced that it would withhold grant money from cities and states until they take certain steps to cooperate more fully with federal immigration authorities who are seeking to enforce the nation's immigration laws. So now all these sanctuary cities, sanctuary counties, sanctuary townships, if they want to not cooperate with ICE, they could also end up with not getting, money that they would normally get, which is a good thing. Carrot and the stick, right? You certainly want to say, if you're not going to follow the rules, I'm not going to give you the money. Right. It's the same kind of stuff I do with my kid. You don't want to do your chores. You're not getting any money. You're not getting any presents. You're not getting it's carrot and the stick. You can do what you got to do, because you know what? You're putting Americans at risk. We've seen it over and over. The stories, there's hundreds of them, thousands of them, of illegal aliens, criminals who end up getting arrested, getting released instead of being deported. And then they go out and they commit crimes a second time, a third time, a fourth time. And these are, some of them are pretty hideous. We've heard the horror stories, the rapes, the murders, that sort of thing. So that's a nice win. We'll see if that gets bumped up to another appeal. I'm sure it will. The Democrats seem to be doing this over and over again, trying to stop it. And one of the things that kills me the most is when people say, oh, Trump promised to give you the wall, and he's not giving you the wall. Well, how can you get the wall when you're being stopped by the courts, you're being stopped by the Democrats, you're being stopped by the media on a regular basis? What wall we have got done is a miracle we got it done. You know, the Trump administration did win at least the ability to move some of the money from certain military projects to building a wall, which, in my opinion, is a military project. It's securing the border. That's their job, right? Okay, well, we're going to cut a little short today. It's Friday night, and I want to go relax myself. So at least I got one done this week. Yay, go me. And if you want to reach out to me, Gary@thedailydrift.com. I'll get this up on the website hopefully tonight or tomorrow, probably tomorrow. I'm tired. And if you have things you want to say, email me, Gary@thedailydrift.com. And make sure you're going to www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. I put it out there for you and spread it around. You can even get a free subscription. Just put in your email. I don't track it. And you'll actually get a link mailed to your inbox for you. And so let's finish it off. Make sure, again, www.thedailydrift.com. And stay tuned. So hopefully we'll see you again next week. Take care.